This is ESPN New York Tonight. Here's Larry Hardesty and Gordon Damer.
Jam-packed edition of a Monday night show here on 98.7 ESPN. Of course, we have another region to talk to you about and an easy night for the Knicks. Want to hear from you at 1-800-919-3776. Also via X, formerly Twitter, at Gordon Damer, at Hardesty ESPN, at ESPN NY 98_7 FM, along with Julian and Joe. We ride until midnight on 98.7 ESPN, New York. Hey, Gordon.
This feels like deja vu all over again here, Larry.
It does,
I feel like
doesn't
we've already
it?
Done this once tonight, but
yes.
This time we can do it after a nice, easy peasy Knicks victory. Huh? How about that?
Oh, so nice. So rare to have a nice, easy, comfortable win. Gordon, just sit back and see if people set records. And then you think you have a record, the foot looks like it's out of bounds, and then, no problem, we'll bring it back in to get the record again. Oh, what a
look.
Oh, beautiful.
This was so much of a blowout. Tibbs actually rested the starters, at least most of them, with about 5 minutes to go.
It's unbelievable. I didn't know who coached. I thought Tibbs took the night off.
Maybe, you never know. He very well might.
That might have been AI Tibbs.
It might have been.
Because
AI
he doesn't
Tibbs,
rest people.
Yep.
He doesn't rest people in any condition. But, it might have been AI Tibbs. But whatever the reason, Gordon, they looked really good tonight. Obviously, Detroit's undermanned.
And terrible.
And terrible.
Even when they're fully manned, yeah. They're bad.
They're bad, fully manned. They're terrible undermanned.
Yes.
And it was an easy night for the Knicks. And what can you say about Dante DiVincenzo? He had the night. This is the – Gordon, how many times have you gone into a locker room, as I have, and heard, the rim looked as big as the ocean? That's
yeah.
The way it looked for him tonight.
No question, right? 40 points, 11 threes, raining threes in the fourth quarter. And what a signing that has turned out to be. Just another
–
I mean, think about all the things that have gone right for the Knicks here in these last couple of years. And Dante DiVincenzo was brought here – I think to be a nice piece, I think the expectation I had at least was, okay, you need more three-point shooting. He can shoot the three. Mm-hmm. He'll be a nice little piece to add to this group, and he's been a whole lot better than a nice little piece. He has been a real find. He's playing his best basketball of his career, and tonight the game of his life, 11 threes and 40 points. Can't beat that.
No, you can't beat it at all. And it was, it was fun to watch, Gordon. Everybody. And once again, a night where Jalen Brunson wasn't vintage Jalen Brunson, but they didn't need him.
Nope. All they needed was DiVincenzo. I mean, Josh Hart was doing
really?
His thing. 14 rebounds, 10 assists, 11 points. So another triple-double for him. Deuce McBride played another 43 minutes. So that's a typical game for him.
Yep.
Hartenstein had a whole bunch of rebounds. Precious Achiuwa had a whole bunch of rebounds.
Yes.
And you scored 36 points in the first quarter, and you cruised from there. It was a nice these are the kind of games that you dream about, right? This is the way you draw
Absolutely.
It up when you take on a team that's bad like Detroit is. These are games that the Knicks, they all count as one game. These are games you can't afford. We were talking before the game. You can't afford to let your foot off the gas.
Mm-hmm.
Safe to say, they did not let their foot off the gas.
Before you joined me at night, Gordon, as you know, we've talked about it. There was a segment that I used to have with Alan Hahn, Wally Zerbiak, and Al Trotwick. And they would come on after games, and I would say, I was a fire starter. I would say something and just, throw the fire in and step back, and they would all just go at it and go at it and go at it. And one thing that Al Trotwick always said was, because we've always been talking about how badly the Knicks didn't have three-point shooting. The bad years, Gordon.
Mm-hmm.
The bad years. And he says, they don't need three-point takers. They need three-point makers. And when you look at this team now, Gordon, they've got a couple of three-point makers on this team. Even Bogdanovich had a decent game tonight, Gordon Damer.
Yeah. It was that kind of night, right? Alec Burks was ticked off that he didn't play because this might have been the night for him to get a little right. Yeah, I mean, it all went right, and that's the kind of performance that you expect to have against the Pistons team. So they get the Nets up next. Nets are better than Detroit, but not a whole lot better than Detroit.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
You got to keep this going. The push towards 50 wins is now Cleveland won tonight, right? So you're not going to pick up any ground on them in terms of the standings, but I think that is what the push is. Until you can get some clarity on Randall and on OG, the only thing you can do is go out and win games, especially winnable games like tonight, and that's exactly what they did.
That's exactly what they did, and that's what they're supposed to do. All right, Gordon, let's talk about some top stories, shall we?
Let's do it.
We began with the sport of baseball. We were wondering what he was going to say, Gordon, when he spoke. And he spoke today. Shohei Ohtani is adamant. He never bet on sports. Said the interpreter stole the money. Quoting Ohtani, I never bet on baseball or any other sport or have never asked somebody to do it in my behalf. And I have never gone through a bookmaker to bet on sports and was never asked to assist betting payment for anyone else, according to Ohtani. And he was sitting next to Will Arrelton. He is the Dodgers manager of performance operation who translated. Ohtani said he fired his interpreter, Mitsuhara, who, quote, had been stealing money from my account and has been telling lies, end of quote.
Well, I think that we all wanted to hear from Shohei Ohtani because we wanted to hear him answer questions that are very obvious questions, the most basic obvious questions of how the interpreter got access to his account, how Ohtani and his team did not realize that $500,000 is being wired from his account to other accounts, what types of authorizations need to be. Just basic, simple questions. If this is the story he's going with, and now he is locked into this story, Larry.
Yes.
That he has not bet on baseball. He has not bet on sports. He knows nothing about it. And this was a theft that was perpetrated by his former interpreter. That leads to many basic questions, none of which I saw any answers to today.
That's his story, and he's sticking to it.
Mm-hmm.
But, Gordon, we have another issue. According to David Perlin, Brian Windhorst, and Adrian Wojnarowski, NBA eyeing Raptors' Jontay Porter for betting issues. He's under investigation by the NBA following multiple instances of betting irregularity over the past several months. At issue are prop bets involving Porter from games on January 26th and March 20th, according to sources. Porter, of course, is the brother of Nugget star Michael Porter Jr.
Well, I would think, and I just kind of was looking at that story briefly during the Knicks game, I would guess that this is something that popped up through the legal avenues to bet, that they saw some betting irregularities. And as much as everybody has tried to lump the new sports books, FanDuel and DraftKings, into the Ohtani story, they have nothing to do with the Ohtani story. That takes place in California, where all gambling is illegal. So one of the benefits of legal gambling is that you have oversight into it and you can spot these things a lot quicker. So we'll see where the Porter story goes. I don't know that many details about it right now. I'm sure we'll get some answers over time. But it does, in a week where you don't want to be associated with anything to do with Shohei Ohtani, Jontay Porter, unfortunately, is going to be thrown in the mix here with Shohei Ohtani.
Gordon, because the NFL officials do such a tremendous job in everything they do, spotting irregularities and calling the right thing consistently, the NFL owners have approved the ban on swivel hip drop tackling technique. Now, this violation will result in a 15-yard penalty and could result in fines for players. The hip drop tackle was used 230 times last season and resulted in 15 players missing time with injuries. Of course, the NFLPA opposes the rule.
This is the stupidest thing. They have been given the golden goose. They have been given this gift from heaven.
Yes.
And it's as if they want to try to destroy it with every fiber of their being. I get it that these tackles have led to injuries. It's football, man. It's football. So now, these officials, who, one of the reasons why I think they don't do a good job a lot of times is because the rules are so onerous and there's so many intricacies to them. They're so complicated. Now we're going to throw another thing on top of everything else to make them even more complicated. It's just games are going to be decided by this. Seasons are going to be decided by this. And we're all going to yell and scream about it. But you know what? At the end of the day, we're all going to be sitting there and watching. So who are we to complain?
Now, Gordon, I'm sure you heard over the weekend, Giants head coach Brian Daboll said, you know, listen, Drew Lock's going to get a lot of playing time in the OTAs and in training camp, but Daniel Jones is our guy. Well, Giants owner John Mara said today he's giving the green light for the team to draft a quarterback. If Joe Shane and Brian Daboll want a QB in next month's draft, they have John Mara's blessing. Quoting Mr. Mara, if they fall in love with the quarterback and believe it's worth pick number 6 or moving up, I certainly would support that. End of quote.
Well, I mean, I know he's the owner of the team, but has he looked at the team? I mean, do we really need a green light to draft a quarterback? We got one quarterback who can't stay healthy in Daniel Jones and is not a franchise quarterback even when he is healthy. And then we got Drew Lock, who's terrible. Mm-hmm. If the Giants play Drew Lock a significant part of next season, they'll be drafting next year right where they're drafting this year. So, no yeah, of course, they would support drafting a quarterback. Maybe this is me becoming like Aaron Rodgers, a conspiracy theorist. Mm-hmm. Doesn't it feel like the Giants are now trying to create a market for their pick for somebody to take a quarterback at six?
Yeah, yeah. I think so.
The initial reports, they're out on Daniel Jones. They got buyer's remorse. There's the talk mm-hmm. the Giants love J.J. McCarthy. Now you got the owner coming. Oh, we would... So now if you're the Vikings or you're the Broncos, you're, oh, well, there's not going to be a quarterback that gets past the Giants at six. We got to trade up.
Yeah, well, we'll see what happens. You know, New England.
1 month till the draft, Larry.
New England's not necessarily going the quarterback route either, maybe, possibly.
Maybe. I mean, they're kind of like the Giants. They're mm-hmm. very similar teams where I think the Patriots are even less talented on offense. But they're both two teams that if they do draft a quarterback, they are setting up that quarterback for failure.
Yes.
Given with what they have around the quarterback.
We have a couple of more stories, Gordon, and we'll talk about them a little bit later in the show. Because one of them is going to get a reaction from you that's going to be legendary. So
what? Me? No.
Oh, yeah. I know. Believe me, I know. Matter of fact, both of these stories are going to give you great reactions, so we'll save them. 1-800-919-3776. When we return, we'll take your phone calls. Remember, at the top of the hour, we will announce a new region in the greatest of all time bracket. And Gordon Damer has mentioned, if you caught us early, he has yep. said this could be the most controversial region
yep.
in the bracket.
This is the one where the seeding came down. The selection committee gave me their recommendations, and I ran the numbers. We put it through the vaunted algorithm, and we had to crunch the numbers a second time to make sure that they wow. were right. But it's locked in now, Larry. There's nothing we can do about it.
It's going to be fun. We'll give you the bracket. We will unveil it at the top of the hour here on 98.7 ESPN.
This is ESPN New York Tonight with Larry Hardesty and Gordon Damer on 98.7 ESPN.
DiVincenzo currently is tied with J.R. Smith in 2014 and Evan Fournier in 2022 for the record of 10 threes made in a game. He's in the corner. Flynn guards him. They're looking for him. Here he is, right side, three-pointer. There's the record!
Keith Monachman, not with the call here on 98.7 ESPN. Dante DiVincenzo setting the record for threes in a game. Gordon Damer, he was on fire.
Yeah, perfect night to do it, right? Make it a little easier for everybody else. The Pistons in town. And, I mean, think about it. You could isolate any of the moves that the Knicks have made here over the last couple of years. And they would be the best moves that the Knicks have made in a very long time. And to think mm-hmm. that this is the same regime that's made all of them, right? I mean, like between the Josh Hart trade and clearly the Brunson signing and now DiVincenzo. I mean, all of these moves to have actual faith in a Knicks front office that they are going to identify what they need. And then when they go out and get what, the player that they think will fit that need, it actually works.
Yeah. Imagine that. Imagine that.
It's been a long time.
Oh, God. Forever. It's been forever. Unbelievable. 1-800-919-3776. What's up, Spike?
Easy peasy, I heard. That's what I expected. And remember, they got Dante as a result of clearing the money from the Obi. Everyone remember when Obi was moved and they went 2 second-round draft picks? Well, they have a value attached to them, and it cleared the cap to get in defense. I mean, look, there's nothing else. I talked to you earlier. I won't let everyone else call and do your reveal. But Detroit has four stars out. It was one of those games. You just don't want anyone to get injured. But the search movement and cutting from the get-go, and you got to take it. I noticed San Antonio won the game tonight without Wemby. Pretty interesting. So maybe going down there won't be as easy as we think. But this is about Charlotte and Detroit and Washington. It may be, and all in the East, you know. It may be about the three worst teams in the NBA, all in one conference. You know, I'm thinking about it. But last thing, I looked into Orlando. Looks like it's going to be Orlando. I would bet on that. And I looked at Orlando's remaining games. It's going to be really tight. It really is. They finish against a couple of good teams who may not need to play. But this was easy. It was a pleasure to watch them. And we know what they can do. They finally have three-point makers, and that opens up the floor. So enjoy it, and let's hear your big reveal later. I'm looking forward to it. Muhammad Ali hasn't popped up yet, right?
He has not. Maybe tonight's the night. You never know.
Yeah, maybe. Well, we'll bet on that. Anyway, the Knicks win by 25, and we'll wait till Wednesday. Thanks for letting me get on again, boys.
All right, Spike. Thanks for the phone call. Jose's in Brooklyn. What's up, Jose?
Hey, good evening, Larry, GD. Shout out to the company. I definitely wanted to call in and, you know, pontificate on the Knicks win. Definitely needed the win with, you know, all the circumstances, as, you know, Coach Spike mentioned earlier. And the fact that they didn't let up and still got the win. And, you know, like you guys mentioned, Dante DiVincenzo was fantastic. And, you know, there's nothing more to say as far as, you know, today's game's concerned, and we just got to keep it going, and, you know, let's, you know, keep those positive vibes going for this team. As far as everything else is going, as far as the look ahead for the scheduling, looks like we can still possibly make some noise, so let's keep the momentum going. Have a good one, guys.
All right, Jose. Listen, Gordon, the one thing I will say about this team is that has been when they were healthy and when they were not, have not been. They have taken care of business as far as beating teams who they're better than. They've been consistent in doing it, and they continue to do it. And that's been a big part of this, Gordon. They've held their own against, you know, they've done a decent job against, you know, the plus 500 teams, and they have just owned teams they're better than.
And another nice part of this is I believe that Evan Fournier holds the regular season record for the Knicks for threes in a season. So
yes,
you can't have a guy like that be your franchise leader in any category.
No, no, no.
When his time here was, it was what it was. But, I mean, that's not the type of player you want to have a franchise record of any kind. So it's good that DiVincenzo is closing on that and eventually will surpass that and set a new record.
Yep, absolutely. Richard's in Manhattan. What's up, Richard?
Hey, fellas. I was thinking this guy, Chet Holmgren on OKC. Now, they're going to end up with a high, great record. And I know he's not the reason they're going to have that record, but it made me think, what rookie center has had a team that won, let's say, 57, 58 games in a season? I mean, I don't think Shaq. I don't think Mourning. I know it wasn't Mutombo, Embiid. Duncan, of course, didn't come up as a center. He had an immediate impact, but not as a center because they had David Robinson.
Right.
Larry, the only two guys I can think of, and they were back-to-back, were Wes Unseld and Lou Alcindor.
Yeah.
Do you know of any in between?
No, I do not.
He's not the reason Holmgren.
No.
I mean, the fact is that they have a fantastic record, and he is the center on the team, and he's a rookie. One more for you. Gordon, you're a betting man, so this will be slanted toward you. You have 16 teams left in the NCAA tournament. And by the way, at that second and third day, third and fourth day were terrible. There's only one double-digit team in the final 16. I think that's got to be a record, right? Only one double D, although I don't know.
But anyway, leads to better games that still to come, though.
Yeah, I guess so. Or better, in theory, games.
But more talented teams.
Not as much. Listen, as when you see shocks, those are the best games. So I can't say better team. But anyway, all right. So you got 16 teams. Now, six of them have won it before. Arizona, Marquette, UConn, the three ACC teams, Duke, North Carolina, North Carolina State. So you got six that have won it, Gordon, and 10 that haven't. If I gave you an even money bet, would you take the 10 that haven't won it, one of them to win it, or one out of the six that have won it already?
Is Houston one of the ones that have won it?
No, never won it.
They never won it.
Purdue never won it.
I would probably take the ones that have won it because I think that UConn is going to win. They're probably the number one.
You're not one of these
right?
Things that's even money with UConn over the field, do you? You don't think that, do you?
No, I wouldn't go that far. I do think that they are the heavy. To me, they're. I'm not going to say 50-50, but I think that they are sizable favorites overall.
Yep, no question about it. All right, when we return, we'll unveil the region next on 98.7 ESPN.